You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is my band.
Yo, what's going on? Episode 191. Slowly careening towards that awesome 200. Yeah, Gretzky never scored 200 goals in a season, but we somehow have 200 episodes almost. So that makes us better than Wayne Gretzky. And we've got Bart. Bart is here with us.
Hi.
He is the guitar player in Mom Jeans. He's also the kind of brainchild, multi-musician behind Graduating Life, and we're stoked to have him here. So what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just been hanging out all day. Just wait. I'm going to go to B-dubs after this.
Oh nice. Yeah?
So that's why does work out.
What's your favorite sauce? Like, what sauce do you go for?
I really like to punish myself. Like, I like to have a terrible day the next day, so I'll get, like, as hot as I can go. I'll do like the wild, and then I'll like dip it in the blazing.
Man, you're a nut job. And I love wings, obviously, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a big huge wing guy, but it's like I never loved the idea of like punishing myself. Like, I like hot for hot's sake, but like when they start being like, oh yeah, we put extra capsaicin in it, and it's like, come
on. I like, dude, sweating, like when you're sitting there sweating.
That's so miserable to me. We had this place in Orlando for a little bit called East Coast Wings, and they had the one wing challenge, and you had to like sign a waiver and you had to wear gloves, and they brought like this one wing out to you, and they had like a Geiger counter attached to it.
Jesus.
But essentially, like they would literally tell you, don't let the sauce touch your lips. And my buddy, he ripped everything off. And then he you're supposed to like dip it in your mouth. And
yeah,
as he dipped it in his mouth, he like sucked all the sauce off of his fingers. So he blacked out because that's how hot it was. Down 2 pints of milk, vomited all over the place. And the next day he woke up, and my dog's going crazy right now. He woke up and he looked, and this is going to age me really bad, but he looked like Macaulay Culkin from My Girl. Like, if he just got stung by bees all over his face. His face was swollen. And I was like, never doing that again, ever.
Yeah, I mean, you guys from the East Coast, right? I feel like food's not even that hot over there. But that sounds pretty fucked up.
You know, it's funny. It depends on, excuse me, how diabolical people want to get. I mean, like, I feel like everywhere in the country has those places that have, like, the, you know, like ultimate hot challenge or like ultimate eating challenge. Like,
yeah,
you know, like that's, it's just like the decadence of America. You know, it's like, come here and try to eat this 168 pound or ounce steak. And if you do, then you get it for free and you get a picture on the wall. And it's like,
yeah, true.
Fuck yeah. Why wouldn't I want my picture on the wall? You know,
I like when you go to a place and it's you'll get the kind of hot option,
yeah,
or even just like a mild, and it's like fucking hot as shit. Yeah. And then it's like they're kind of just casual with it, I guess, you know.
You know what I like too, when you go to a restaurant, like you order something hot, and like whoever is like your server is just like feels obligated to tell you like, hey, you know, that's pretty hot. Yeah. And then you got to be like, well, shut the fuck up or whatever.
My fiance will, like, when we go somewhere, she'll be like, can you get us, like, the actual hot shit? And then they'll be like, yeah. And they go and they'll, like, bring out a separate thing.
Just eating off menu. I love it. Just like, yeah, bring me the world ending shit. I love it. Yeah. So let's kind of talk about, like, mom jeans in 2023. Like, we've already got, like, these two huge announcements. You guys are going on a whole ass world tour, which is
unbelievable. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, as you should be. And then you guys are playing Sad Summerfest. I saw that you guys were announced for that too, which is going to be another awesome thing. So, as far as the world tour is concerned, I know you're doing UK and Europe with, Oso. Jade's one of my good buddies, and I love him.
Yeah, Jade's awesome.
Great guy. And then I saw you're doing Australia with Microwave and Canada with Bearings, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Bearings is fucking, they're cool. They're hella cool.
I mean, like, you guys picked three great, like, bands to kind of take with you, because, you know, I feel like Oso and Bearings are, like, kind of just on that tipping point where, like, you know, like, they're starting to gain so much traction to smaller bands, and then, well, you know, getting to be bigger now. And then you've got, you know, Microwave, who are, you know, themselves, you know, doing great things. So, you know, really think it'll be an awesome time. And then that show in Hawaii, is this the first time you guys are playing in Hawaii?
Yeah. I think we've always been wanting to get out to, like, we really wanted to go to Japan, but that didn't happen. And the plan was to maybe at one point hit, like, do those, because it's like kind of in a line, yeah, I guess. Close, I don't know, it makes sense, like, another, geographically.
That's cool.
But yeah, I don't know, it should be really fun. I'm excited to go to Australia again. Australia is always, like, I mean, I don't know why I'm saying always, I've only been there fucking one time, but, like, the whole time I was there, I was like, god damn, I would live here. Like, this fucking rocks.
So that's awesome. What island are you going to in Hawaii?
Dude, I don't know.
You ever remember?
I think it's Honolulu.
Is it Honolulu?
Yeah.
I'd have to look at it. Yeah. So
I was literally just in Honolulu back in December, and I was there for like a week, and like, we stayed basically like in one of the resorts on like Waikiki. But it was pretty cool because, like, we were walking out and they have, like, you know, they have all the tourist shit, like they have the Hard Rock and Tommy Bahama and all this other stuff. Yeah. But we walked past the Hard Rock, and I was fully expecting to hear some, like, just Nickelback-style alt-rock. No, they were, like, young adults, and they were ripping, like, just punk cover sets. And it was the sickest thing I've ever seen. That's obviously crazy. I didn't go in because I don't want to pay for Hard Rock to go watch a band.
Yeah.
But I just heard them from outside for a little bit, and I was just like, this is cool. Like, there's a Gucci down the street, like walking distance.
That's cool, man.
And these guys are just ripping just like Black Flag and like Agnostic front covers.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we played maybe like a Hard Rock in Florida or something on a tour.
Did that story tour go?
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The food was really good. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. But, you know, as far as, you know, like playing in Hawaii is concerned, like logistically, you know, what goes into all that, you know, like trying to.
Yeah. Basically, we do nothing at all. And then Joel does everything. Our friend Joel.
Yeah.
That's the life.
It is pretty nice. I hang out with him pretty often and I'll see him on his computer doing actual work. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm booking the fucking shit. And then I'm like, oh, cool. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, and, you know, the other side of that is, you know, as cool as it is to have someone, you know, do all that kind of stuff for you and, you know, you just have to sort of show up and, you know, play. It's like, at the same time, like, you know, very rarely do we talk about that other side of being in a band where, like, you know, everybody loves it and it's expression and all that kind of stuff. But also, like, you have to, you know, you have to sound good and you have to, like, actually practice and be good at your instruments and stuff. And it's just like, sometimes that shit can be really nerve wracking, you know, like, you're like, oh my God, we're playing for the first time in Hawaii. Like,
oh,
sound good, you know? So, like, that's the kind of other side of it that I think people sometimes think about.
Yeah. I think, like, As far as the actually doing stuff like booking and all that, like I did that for so long along with other people in the band, and then Joel is just always around, so it was like he's like, oh, I'll do it. It just became like too much. It was too much work. It's like too time consuming, and then it makes you kind of feel like anytime you're like playing, you're like, oh man, I've spent so many fucking hours like doing all this shit, and then now I'm like doing this other shit. It makes you kind of like feel like I'm spending a lot of time doing all this, like way too much time.
Yeah.
And then not everyone can do that. So it's like if there's just one person booking everything, doing everything, they're gonna feel like they're carrying like way too much of the weight. It could cause like resentment and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think like it's great having, you know, Joel and Brad and you know, them like help us out and just like handle stuff because they're like way more organized.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. You know, Mikey, you know, we had a, you know, kind of a festival for our podcast last year, and you know, Mikey in tandem with you know, one of our really good friends in Orlando kind of booked it together. And I mean, it was like, it's not an easy thing, you know. It's like, you, especially when you're booking like, you know, small stuff, small tours, it's like, this venue like won't get back to me, and like I've messaged them 80 times.
Yeah, that sucks. So like I used to book for years and years, and that's like just how I started touring the country, because I was like, I just want to do it, so I just did it. And it is like the thing, like no matter how prepared you are and shit, you can't account for everyone else. So then you're going through and you're like, oh, I got everything, but then there's like five people who aren't getting you things. And then as you maybe like if you go from booking like house shows and then you start booking like venues that are actually like sending over contracts and shit, then you'll, even some of those people will be like fucking unorganized, and then and it's like this sucks ass.
And you know, I think at the end of the day, you just, you know, musicians just want to go out and be able to play music and be able to, you know, do what they got to do. And that's, you know, that's why it's such an, you know, integral part of the music industry to have people that are good at that kind of thing, because, you know, people who specialize in that, like I've got a, you know, one of my really, really good friends, you know, TM'd and like did all this stuff and, you know, ended up working for Passion Pit. And like, you know, he, you know, said it's a grind. He said, but you know, you get a lot of
reward out
you
of
know,
it.
You get a lot of like good feelings about knowing that, like, you know, you're a part of something and an important part of something, you know? So that's awesome. You know, stoked for the, you know, for the world tour, stoked for Sad Summer, which I think is going to be great. So Sweet Tooth, you know, came out last year. I mean, you know, there's been just a ton of great press about it. And the record is fantastic. You know, I can't tell you how many times I listened to it last year. You're very, very welcome. I guess just the first quick question I have about it is, you know, when you kind of listen to like the band lineage, like when you go through, you know, the two albums before that, it almost seems like Sweet Tooth kind of stepped back from some of the more like frenetic guitar parts and kind of stepped back from some of the more like, I don't want to say like, you know, tappy stuff, but like, it's kind of seems like,
no, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Right.
Like, I know exactly what you mean. That
sparkly guitar.
Yeah. But
it's more straightforward type.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something brilliant about it, because it like, you know, on the first two records, it like showed that you guys like really like brought your shit and like could like do the, you know, do Midwest emo and do like emo and all that stuff. But then you put out this record that's like full of all of these songs that like have like these just like insane hooks, and like you can't get like the choruses out of your head and stuff. And it's like, you guys wrote this like rock record that's just like fantastic. And I kind of always wonder, like, you know, for the people that like have been out there following you guys, you know, since the inception of Mom Jeans, I mean, I know it was, you know, something that you came into, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, but like, do you find that there are like two different like lines of fans, like the people that like embrace Sweet Tooth and the people that are like, you know,
I think that's the coolest people, like, or I guess not, I'm phrasing that wrong. That's like the coolest thing about the people who go to the shows. They just seem to, they just like want to be there and have fun, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know when we started playing the album, we were all like, whoa, this is fucking crazy. Cause people are like singing the words to the new songs.
Yeah.
And we're like, it's not like there's people sitting there with their arms crossed.
Yeah.
Which is like, we've had that experience too, where you go to play a new song and it's like, I guess people don't really fuck with it. But it was nice to play the new album and it's like, there's not this like cold ass feeling from the crowd, you know? So it hasn't, you know, it's been great.
I'll never forget. Yeah. I went to Riot Fest, I think in 2012. And the first band I go to see is Yellow Card.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you that, like, the crowd like almost like turned their backs when anything got played that wasn't off of Ocean Avenue, like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like this, like, maybe they had, let's say, I don't know, maybe 500 people watching them, right? And, you know, uh-huh. It's Riot Fest. You guys have done Riot like a couple times, right? Have you? Or
yeah.
So, like, I mean, the setup then was, it's just like, you know, a big, huge open space, and there's, you know, people walking by and all that kind of stuff. And Yellow Card was playing one of the main stages, mm-hmm. but like, as soon as like they launched into the last three songs of their set, which were the three singles off of Ocean Avenue,
yeah,
all of a sudden it went from like 500 people to like 2,500 people. Like, you could tell that like 2,000 people were like, oh shit, oh,
they're gonna play
this is way last. Away. Let yeah. me go. So it's like, you know, you almost kind of feel bad, because as a musician, it's like every time you put out a new album, you think it's the best thing that you've ever done because you've cared for it and you've nurtured it and you've.
Sometimes you know it's bad.
Well,
I'm not saying that. I don't listen to them, so I don't know. But
I mean,
I'm saying there is that you probably know what I'm talking about if you guys have been in bands. There's sometimes you're working on music and you're like, oh my god, this sucks.
This is not good.
Like, yeah. But you're already locked into it. Yeah. So it's like,
I mean, yeah. That's the reality. You know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
But you know, so kind of piggybacking off of talking about Sweet Tooth a little bit. You know, just kind of interested in, you know, hearing a little bit more, you know, about, you know, like, I know you guys brought Sam on to play bass and,
yeah.
Was Sweet Tooth one of those things that did he, was he part of the writing process or was it everything?
Yeah. I think the coolest part is just everyone was involved and
yeah,
it seemed like the goal was just to write like the best, like, songs that we could. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a fuck ton of songs and I would come up to the bay and just stay in this little like shed converted into like a bedroom mm-hmm. in the back of their house that they all lived in. And I would just like bring my like speakers and my fucking like all my recording shit, which is nothing. It's just like a little interface. And then we would just like demo and I'd just be like there all day with everyone being like, oh, what if it's like this? What if we do that? Like, so I think that really helped. Because instead of writing, maybe like some bands might write like 10 songs mm-hmm. and be like, oh, these are the 10. But we wrote like a fuck ton because I was like, we should just write as many as we can and then just take the best ones, which I think most people do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, we'll write a record. And then once you get close to that, it's taken so long that you're like, all right, this is probably good enough, you know? But yeah, so that was pretty much it. We just would write all the time. And then everyone would be collaborating on stuff. Like Sam would send over a chorus and I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then we'd take that, make that into a song. Or we had one song that was played really fast. And then I was like, what if it was like slow as fuck or whatever? And then that became Circus Clown. So it's I was like, what if it's more like indie vibe? Like, yeah.
I'm trying to like imagine it being like a fast song.
It used to be like, it was like very like
Nirvana.
Yeah.
It was like Teen Spirit. That's immediately what I thought of when you said.
Yeah. No, it was really fast. And it was fun to play, but it just didn't work for some reason. I think like mm-hmm. the lyrics that we had at the time and other stuff like that. And that one was cool too, because Eric recorded a verse, like a verse and a chorus. Cause I was like, here's this like new version. Do you think you could write something to it? And then Eric sent over the files and I dropped them in like skewed. So then the chorus was like off and he came to listen to it and he's like, oh, this is wrong, but it sounds really good. So then the chorus is like, was supposed to be something else. I'll never know where it was supposed to land.
That's funny.
But the way it landed, it was just like, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this goes. This is cool.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It's a good mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what's cool about working together too. But yeah. I don't know. That's pretty much it. Nothing crazy.
I mean, that's all good. It's kind of awesome. So, I want to do, you know, one more kind of quick thing and then, you know, I'll shoot it over to the other guys to kind of, you know, try a little hawking and all that kind of stuff. But, I've been kind of like, conceptualizing this like idea for this podcast that I've had. And, I didn't like tell either of the people that are like to my left that are on the podcast that I was doing this, but
are you going rogue? Are you like
he's going rogue?
going rogue. Mid episode. Okay.
I was thinking about it all day and I was like, you know, it'd be really cool. You know, we have Bard on today. I'd kind of like love to just learn a little like of the, like kind of inside scoop about, you know, like one of the songs on the new record. So what I kind of figured I would sort of do with this is, you know, I'm going to pick a song from the record, just pick one. I mean, cause they're all great, but I'm just going to pick one. And then maybe you could tell me a little bit about how it was conceptualized. Like if it was born from like a riff or a chorus or
okay.
How it seemed to be. Yeah. And it kind of sparked me to ask you that because of such a cool story that you just told about like how Circus Clown came to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm always curious about that kind of stuff because it really shows like the kind of the creative process. So, I mean, I'm biased again, because I love the record and I've listened to it a lot, but I think I'm going to go with Sugar Rush. I think that's like one of my favorite songs on the record. You know, it's kind of got that bouncy like triplet feel going on with it.
Yeah.
With the horns and stuff too. So
got that like everybody wants to rule. Yeah.
Is that what you're going for? Like just straight up like
no, I think it just came out like that. I was really thinking that once Austin, when we were practicing it, once he started bringing out that beat at the end where he's like, but get like, and then I was like, oh yeah, this is what it sounds like.
But so I, you know, I guess like, cause it's like a, you know, it's like a good way to like kind of break the record up. Like you've got five tracks, then you've got Sugar Rush, you know, the Grad Life, and then you've got the rest of the record. So, but just that one in general, like, that, did it kind of start with that opening riff and then develop from there?
That one's hella dope. That's cool that you picked that one, because that one actually does have a maybe a more interesting journey. Is it awesome. It was like a demo that Eric and Austin worked on all like before pretty much any of the other songs started to exist. And so we had this running folder. I could be messing this up, but we had like a folder of songs. And Eric really wanted to do this one. So then one day when I was in that shed, like I mentioned, Eric or someone gave me the files. And then I started making a demo of like how I heard it.
Okay.
And then, so I started like building the, I'd have Eric come in and like track the guitar, the, cause I can't play that shit. The bone name. Like I can't play that. And then track that, and then I started building out this song where it goes like four on the floor, like, or whatever, you know, it does like the stomp where it's like duh, 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 like it slowly builds. And then I made that, and the demo didn't have a chorus, and so we were sitting there, me and Eric were trying to like figure out like what could be the chorus, and then so we ended up playing those chords that are the chorus. And then when we came to the studio, it still wasn't finished. Like we had it, but the chorus didn't repeat. And I really wanted the chorus to repeat because I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And so when we were there, Brett, was like, ah, it needs something more. And I'm glad that he said that, because then the song ended up getting the second chorus that it needed. Mm-hmm. And it has that middle section. I was listening to like a lot of Oasis. So yeah. Then like, yeah, it goes yeah. into that, like it goes into that like thing where uh-huh. it, yeah. And it has and that love, like solo.
And I love the horns in it. Like, you know, obviously, I think it, what was it? Austin is plays the trumpet, and then and
Eric plays yeah. the trombone.
The trombone, yeah. right? Yeah. So like you guys have like that built in. And I always love that. One of me and Mikey's favorite bands from Long Island was this band called As Tall as Lions. I don't know if you were familiar with them, but nah. like they were like this really great, like kind of smooth indie band that like they like would have trumpets and sax and like French horns, and like the way they would do it would be just so like kind of like just kind of like lush and smooth.
Yeah.
And when I hear this part, like it's just like it's just like anthemic. It's just like very like kind of stout, almost sounds like some shit you'd play for like a king, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, kind of like a march all the way through, and you can hear everything build up as yeah. it goes. And then it like, yeah. once it climaxes at like, what is it, like a minute 20 and the horns come in. It's like,
yeah,
you're just like, you're like blown away. Cause you're just like, oh my God, like there's a lot going on right now. And this all sounds like,
yeah,
it's something I would listen to stoned and I would feel really fucking cool.
That's dope.
Listening to it. Yeah. Like, honestly, like that's just what it is.
Yeah. That's just Eric and Austin building the section. It sounds hella cool. That was like, I love playing that song when we do play it live, mm-hmm. especially because it's in this different tuning that Eric concocted. It's like similar to another tuning, but it's like once we get to the chorus, I'm just using like one finger pretty much, which I'm stoked about.
Some weird open tuning.
He's probably playing yeah. in twinkle tuning. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but we don't normally we play like everything in standard and just hop, yeah. fly the capo around. Mm-hmm. But this one is nice because it's like, at a certain point in the song, you can just hit all the strings and not worry.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, wow, this is fucking easy as shit. But then, there are parts. I've played that song where there's like leads in it, and I'm like, they're not really easy at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, now this kind of sucks if I fuck this up.
Yeah, right. I mean,
so yeah.
And that's one of the things about like going into the studio when like you have, you know, at this point, infinite, you know, ability to put whatever you want in your music. And like, you could just say like, well, you know, I've got that second lead in there, which there's no way we're able going to be, you know, play it live. So like,
yeah,
I guess it's just there for the rest of life. But no, I really appreciate you kind of sharing that with me, because it's always really cool to kind of learn a little bit more about, again, the creative process and, you know, what goes into songwriting, and especially something that, you know, is maybe to, you know, some of our listeners as innocuous as just like, you know, oh, like I was, you know, listening to like Oasis at the time, and that's kind of mm-hmm. where I came from. But like for me, like I think back to that and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that kind of is like, you know, kind of like yeah. 90s like Oasis-y, like Gallagher's kind of stuff. So like I dig that, and I love to kind of learn where that's coming from. But to me, you know, it's just so fascinating that, you know, so many people listen to so many different things and how it is like interpreted and then kind of comes out in the way people write is so different, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I think like Keith Buckley, like of Every Time I Die, said like he thought something was like kind of like a Smashing Pumpkins part. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, whatever, like I was listening to Mayonnaise or like whatever. And like, you yeah. listen to it, I'm like, what, that's what you thought? Like that is the Smashing Pumpkins part? Like, what the
yeah.
fuck are you talking? But
it was, no, awesome. I think that part just became like the Oasis part, because we were playing it in that tuning in the room, yeah. and then we went down and just like made an E shape naturally.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like, whoops, like didn't, but then it sounds like it's got that brand, like,
yep, yeah,
that, you know, when the chord changes in that section, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah. that was just by accident too. Like we played that and we're like, oh dude, if we could put this in the song, that'd be sick. It was all like, you know, like little roll swung vibe.
So, very cool.
So well, Tom,
again,
I think,
yeah, thank you.
I think the name of the podcast that you thought you came up with is actually called Song Exploder.
Yeah.
Oh, does it?
It 100% exists.
Oh, okay. So if I do a segment on this podcast and I don't call it Song Explorer,
but you could do it with
okay.
people that aren't like, I don't know.
The Killers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I would kind of, I would like to know a little bit more about like what Jonathan Flowers like was thinking when he wrote Sam's Town. Like, I
mean,
I'd
Brandon Flowers.
Yeah, whatever his name is. What did I call him? Jonathan Flowers.
Jonathan Flowers.
For some reason, I was thinking of Jonathan Quick in my head. And
oh, probably.
I don't know why I was thinking of Jonathan Quick. Probably because I play too much NHL. But, you know, he just got traded to the team I'm on. So.
In your NHL, in my year four of NHL, be a pro.
They
also traded like Ovi and.
Oh, it's crazy. If you look at the roster, I'm on the Carolina Hurricanes, and every day they do something different for Storm Surge, but like it's really only four different things they do for Storm Surge. They do like, let's go under the sticks and let's do this. And I don't know. Mikey hates Storm Surge. I don't really know why.
I hate the Hurricanes so much. But you know what I do love?
DraftKings.
Wow. Good for you.
I'm going to try my best reading right now. So four NFL teams. Two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? You can feel the conference championship thrills with stepped-up same-game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. So
that was beautiful.
So, yeah. I appreciate it. I still want you guys to start playing acoustic guitar as I start reading DraftKings.
Oh, we could. We could start playing,
start
like
making that happen.
Some weird shit. But before we get into hockey talk, because I kind of want to keep going with Tom's conversation, because I love talking about this stuff, and especially like when I threw a few questions up on Reddit just to see like, you know, what people want to ask you guys. And a lot of it was like, if Bart's on, can you ask him about grad life? And I said, maybe. But but overall, like some of the questions like really kind of like stem from, you know, the conversation that we were just having, but especially like being from the Bay Area overall, because I know like some of you guys are like kind of like all over the place. You know, what were kind of like your biggest like musical inspirations, like outside of like Oasis that you were listening to? And kind of like
for the album, for the new one.
Yeah, for the new album.
Yeah. I mean, I can't necessarily speak for everyone, but I guess in a way I can. I think we need a playlist. I'll see if I can find it. It'll take like 1 second if it's still there.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Okay, you're good.
But yeah, we did make a playlist of like, we were like, oh, everyone should just throw songs that they want. Like, what are they listening to now? Like, kind of like a group playlist for everyone in the band to be like, what's the vibe? But yeah, it was just a lot of like 90s shit, some newer shit, a lot of just like big open like rock like hits and stuff like that, like catchy melody stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It would be hard to say like any one band. I do think we were listening to a lot of Oasis at the time, but
you're like, yeah, I think that's where we were at.
But yeah, no one would listen to the album and be like, oh, these guys love Oasis, like Gallagher
brothers.
Yeah.
But it was cool because like that was this one guy asked he asked this question in like this like kind of like thread of like multiple questions, and one of them was like really cool how he asked it too, because He wants to know like was there like a specific band, like, you know, either aimed at you, Bart, because you know you're the one that's on here, but that made you kind of go, damn, like I want to start a band and start doing this stuff. Because I guess last year when you guys played Sad Summer Fest, someone said just go out and play music with your friends, and that super like really resonated with this person.
Oh yeah, that's what Eric says.
Yeah, and he was just like, I want to go start a band now. Like, what was that band for you?
For me.
And if it wasn't just one band, it was like maybe like two or three.
I think when I started playing, it was like maybe middle school, high school, and it was definitely just some really bad shit. It was like probably like Chelsea Grin or something like
nice.
That. Like I played in a bunch of metalcore bands. So I'd listen to like Devil Wears Prada and be like, oh, this shit fucking rocks. I would love to do this. And then, yeah, you start doing it. And dude, I don't know. People think like playing house shows can be demoralizing, but as a like playing house shows when you're in like drop A, that shit is soul crushing. Cause it's like no one fucks with it at all. Like it's just like absolute noise. Sounds like shit. I didn't use a noise gate because like I didn't even people weren't even like telling me like, oh, you should do this or that. They're like, oh yeah, it sounds like shit. That's
just
great.
Plug right into your 6505 and crank the gain to 9.
Yeah.
Red channel.
So it was so bad. I do have this memory, which I've told everyone in the band a bunch, but there was this one show I was playing. And I was maybe like eighth grade or something. And this guy who's like several grades above me was like the screamer in the band. And he was like, he's like, this next song's called Hey John, What's Your Name Again? Which is like a Delaware's Prada song. And then I was like, I don't know how to play that. And he's like, it's just open the whole time. Like, you'll be good. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, it's not fucking open the whole time. So then he just starts the song, and then I'm just playing open the whole time. No one notices because the music sounds like shit. So it's like, you know, it's like that's like the real sad part is when you're literally, you know, you're playing the wrong notes and no one cares. They're acting the same.
Yeah.
Like then you're like, wow, this is really bad music.
I wonder if you could expose somebody that like, says they like loud hardcore music but doesn't actually like loud hardcore music and just like put like sabotage like a band and just put like someone just constantly playing open for everything and just,
oh, they'd love
if
it
if they're like, wait, this sucks, or if they're like, oh dude, that shit's so fucking brutal.
That's so grindcore.
Yeah, I have this memory of being at another house show where some dude's like drunk uncle came out and was like, you can't fucking scream, man. You can't fucking scream. He's like, let me hear you scream. And it was just like so awkward. I was like so young. And just this like wasted old man is like yelling at some guy in the other band. And he's like sitting there with like straightened hair being like, ah! And I was like, God, this is so punishing. It's really cringy to think back on.
I mean, but I feel like everybody has those experiences, right? Like, I mean, you know, if you played music, you at some point had to start somewhere. Unless you were... What is it? Is Real Friends the band that like started in the Notebook? Is that real?
That would be cool.
I don't think.
I heard that like their entire like history of their band, like for their first 5 years, was all like planned out. I remember someone saying
that'd be pretty smart,
yeah. Right? I mean, imagine if you could just do that.
That's yeah, I did that, and then after that, some of my friends really like Lot of Spute.
Yeah.
And wanted to do a band like that. And I kind of liked it, but I was still holding on to like drop tuning. I was like, no fucking way am I going to play standard. Come on now.
That's nerd shit.
Yeah. I was like, this is so nerdy. But then eventually I was like, all right, I'll play. Like, my friends asked me to be in this emo band, and that was in standard. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, all right, I guess I'll play in standard. Yeah. I don't know.
I told Tom this story, but I mean, similar to you, Bart, like I grew up in like, you know, the hardcore, metalcore, deathcore scene. Yeah. And I think one of my favorite stories was we had this like very Christian venue. It was called Rocket Town. I think there was like a few other Rocket Towns across the United States, but it was like an indoor skate park, and like they did like church services, like everything. So, a few years ago, there were two bands with very similar names, and it was only separated by one vowel. And one of them was Oceana, which was a Christian band, very Christian, you know, kind of like, you know, that post-hardcore ambient style.
They booked Oceano.
100% Nobody picked up on it except for like me and some of my friends, and we were like, this is going to be the greatest set we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah.
So we go there, and there's just a sea of just like bleached mullets, deep V shirts, Under Oath fans, Burden of a Day fans, all these like just ultra Christian. And they had no idea. They thought Oceano was playing because that's what was billed. And they billed Oceano. So the singer of Oceano comes out, and he knows exactly where he's playing. Like, he knows his audience to a T.
Yeah.
And this is 2010, maybe, something like that. And he just grabs the mic, and he just goes, "What the fuck is up? We're Oceano. We believe in a women's right to murder babies." And they just go right into a blast beat. They went for 5 minutes, and the venue shut the power off.
That's awesome. And it was
the greatest $20 I've ever spent on a show. And I just love telling that story because it's so funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny those bands existing too. Like, it's like the name is so similar, and they're not the same at all.
Yeah,
it's like... You could make a mistake. Yeah, there's like this club retro in California, maybe a similar vibe, but it's like a Christian type thing. And they had one in up north in like Roseville near Sacramento, and then they had one in Fresno. They might have had another elsewhere, but I think we were supposed to go see Carnifex play, and then they had heard about the goat head, and then. It's like they didn't know they're like a devil band, basically, or some shit. I don't know. So then the show didn't happen. That was a bummer because that band Wretched was supposed to play.
Oh, nice.
And I was into them at the time. But yeah.
It's crazy how music influences change very drastically, like throughout the years.
Oh yeah.
Like, I still listen to that stuff, and like my partner's always she's just like, "What, you don't listen to that stuff?" I go, "No, I do listen to that stuff.
I just
don't listen to it with you." But speaking of touring and Oceana and Oceano, any bands that you guys would like to kind of tour with Mom Jeans? Like, anyone that's kind of like on your radar that you haven't toured with, that you like, either like a dream band or even bands that are kind of currently touring?
I'm sure everyone has a list or something of nothing comes to mind immediately. I feel like it's always, we did a tour with like Hobo Johnson and that was really cool. It'd be cool to just tour with people who are outside of like the strictly norm. Like guitar band world, just cause it's more interesting to see like people that don't listen to just pop punk or like just emo, you know.
And Hobo Johnson is essentially just like La Dispute, but like a little bit more chill.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why, because when I saw a couple people on one of the tours we did wearing Hobo Johnson shirts, and I was like, oh, that would be sick, because like that kind of does make sense when you listen to his music. You're like, it like causes a reaction out of you, like how those bands used to, which is
like a lot of those bands that like are in that trope, and Hobo's kind of far away from that, but like you know, like your La Dispute, and there's another band whose name I just can't think of, who's on the tip of my tongue. Where like,
not Listener, right?
Listener, yes, but not Listener. Oh man, he's got this song where he's like, "It feels like a gold beam." I can't even think of what the fuck's he's called.
I think of Wesley Willis, but that's a completely different.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure
genre
it out
entirely.
And I'll yell.
Is this a
spoken
word artist?
It's like, yeah, it's like a spoken word kind of emo band, and they kind of do that whole thing. And it's, oh man.
Yeah, I used to obviously like being with friends who were into all the La Dispute, and me liking some of those bands. I didn't like, there's just part of the era where I was like, all right, no one, not everyone's this fucking sad. Like, this is a bit ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, there was a lot of spoken word, as you guys probably remember. And it was kind of getting to a point where it's like, all right, this is overkill. But hearing the Hobo Johnson shit, it's like, well, this shit's actually good. Like, this is good. This is not like when I was existing and you go to like a house show.
Yeah.
And some guy gets up and he's like, all right, my name is whatever. And there's no band behind him. And you're like, oh, fuck no. Like, please, God.
He's doing deaf poetry.
Yeah.
He's deaf jam poetry.
Yeah. Which sucks because usually those people are super nice because they're willing to just go up and be like, bare their soul. Mm-hmm. But it's not, yeah. You know, when you're like at a house show and you're like, oh, we're fucking chilling. We're like partying. It's like, come on.
You're like, please don't do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much like everything that I wanted to get into musically. A lot of the other questions were very like gearhead questions, and I was just like, I'm not gonna ask him like what pedal board he uses or to show the pedal board that he uses. No one wants to. I'm like, 90% of our audience does not care about that. I was like,
yeah. I'm not even like a gearhead, really, so yeah. That would be terrible. Yeah.
This would be like, yeah, I just plug into my amp, dude, and that's all I do, and I just play.
Yeah, I have pedals now, but I just don't, like, I don't care. Like, we'll play a show, and I won't use them, and I'll be like, yeah, this is kind of better.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have to tap anything with my foot.
I think everybody's like thinking like, oh, do you have like this like $300 Strymon pedal that makes your guitar sound like the sky?
There's no pedal that's going to make you play better or sound awesome. And no one's going to notice. Yeah.
It's that's like, the advice that these people, like a lot of people just need, like just practice.
Yeah. There's no like magic shit.
You can't Milli Vanilli your way anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the magic thing would be stop playing a guitar and like just make music on your computer and then just play that live. That's the magic trick.
And they're just
like that band I set my friends on fire. Remember them?
Yeah, that shit's dope.
And Sky It's Airplane. You remember them too?
Oh, yeah. I heard that guy like designs light shows now or something.
Hit, like the space bar on their Mac and they're just fucking. Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah. You know?
So I Set My Friends on Fire came from my hometown. In Miami.
Oh, really?
And their first official show was supposed to be Bamboozle. But they did their first like live show down in Miami, and it was just Matt and the first guitarist, who's Nabil, and they just had programmed drums. They just hit spacebar on their laptop and here we go. We're just going into things that rhyme with orange. And
if you're good at playing to a click. Right, I mean, like you can do it.
But then they ended up getting the drummer from First to Last, so I think it was a glow up for them eventually.
Oh man,
we'll see.
Remember from First to Last, Mikey? We'll did you ever listen to From First to Last?
No,
no, I didn't.
You never rode the wings of pestilence.
Is that Skrillex?
Yeah, that's Skrillex.
Okay,
that
double bass part is just like
it was the artist formerly known as Skrillex.
Yeah,
that's true.
I like the new. I like some songs he works on. Well, I listened to Skrillex recently, like very recently.
Non-ironically,
non-ironically.
I think that I promise you, I'm going to let Mikey talk to you about hockey now. But one last thing is, I heard you do like mouth guitars, and like I was just doing mouth drums, and like, do you think like a podcast would work where it's just like a couple of people just like doing like mouth songs and being like, oh, you remember that like Thursday part where it's like, and you're like, oh, yeah,
not work.
I bet you it would.
A regular podcast hardly works. And then you dissolve it into that.
This one barely works. A whole so I don't know piece. How that would work.
Tom basically pitched a sound exploder earlier. So
yeah. Tom's just pitching podcasts to get off of this podcast.
To be fair, I mean, it's a good idea, but it was maybe someone else's good idea. That's fine. That's okay.
I mean, look, it's fine. I'll just, we'll call it a segment. We'll like make a hockey word for it. We'll be like, Tom's in between the pipes today with fucking song six on your record. What is it? And
he's thought about it.
It'll be fine. As long as I say something hockey related, it's cool. Tom's slap shot goal.
Yeah.
Christopher.
Slap shot goal.
What? Who Matt wrote slap shot goal, Mikey?
Matt Christopher.
Matt Christopher. Slapshot Goal, Baseball Home Run. Great books.
They're awful books. Don't ever read those books.
We don't endorse them.
No. But I'm guessing Bart wants to know what you're drinking, Tom. Because I want to know what the hell.
Just nice tea.
It looks like you're drinking
not a Long Island style.
Oh no, not Long Island style. Okay. No, if I was drinking a Long Island iced tea out of this, I'd be like, so Bart, tell me a question. Is your band really named after Bob's Burgers? Is that stupid?
They didn't fucking like my idea. They said it was Song Exploder.
Yeah. Bart says Song Exploder, whatever. He doesn't even like the plan standard. He's stupid.
Prove it. Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Regular ass tea, but Mikey.
All right, let's dive into it. So
tell me.
The last time we had Doug from Barron's on, he was kind of filling us in on that Pure Noise tour that he did with Just Friends. And I thought he was going to say like how he was talking hockey with like Derek and those guys and like the 4-year guys. But he actually dropped that he was like really like getting Sam into hockey and like Sam was going to be like a Devils fan.
And Sam's at a Devils game tonight.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. He is a Devils fan.
Yeah. They're recording like a new record in New Jersey. So then I was on the phone with Tyler from Save Face earlier and he's like, I was like, oh, is it dark over there already? And he's like, yeah, I'm driving to the Devils game I'm going to go with Sam and all them. So nice. Sam FaceTimed me like before this and he was like, look. And it's like, he's like, they're like good this year. Because we went and saw a game last season and I was like watching it might have been our first game or something because I've been playing hockey since I was younger but I've never gone to like a pro game and I was like damn this sucks ass like they're playing like shit like it's fucking embarrassing but yeah I don't know I mean they're hella good this year so
yeah. I think it's just all those young Russians that they got. They're killing it. But when I hit up Sam, it was actually refreshing to hear that, you know, he was like, wait, I'll eventually come on, but you got to talk to Bart from Mom Jeans. He's the real hockey guy. So obviously we hit you up and now we're all experiencing the episode, but you kind of mentioned how you've been a hockey guy, you know, your whole life. And when we were briefly texting before, like you didn't really have a team. It was more of just hockey guy.
So, yeah. The thing is like, I think I just liked it when I was younger and growing up, I was into like the Avalanche cause they were doing well, Joe Sakic and like Rob Blake and shit that, you know, like, but I would never like after that, it's like, I never watched games all the time or kept up with anything. Cause I didn't really care. I just wanted to go play the travel games and like have fun.
Yeah.
Playing travel hockey and shit like that. Cause that's way more interesting. It's like you go play a game and the kids would be like, oh, this guy's name, this guy and that guy. And I was just like, I just don't really fucking care. Like, I don't
want to play the game.
Yeah. Cause also people would be obsessed with it, would be like the worst players on the team. And it's like, all right, well, don't be like that guy then, I guess. I don't know. But I wasn't the best. So there's that.
So how did that conversation go? Like, do you come from a hockey family or you just like randomly went up to your parents one day and you were like, can you find the closest rink and take me to play hockey?
Like, I think. I want to say I was like maybe like 5 or 6 or something. And I can't remember for sure, but I think we just saw an ad for this Gateway Ice Center place that I still go play at. It's like right next to my house. Mm-hmm. And then I probably told my mom, I was like, I want to go ice skate. And then we went and she was like, oh, he's not that bad at it. And then there was like an intro to hockey thing where they make sure you don't like absolutely suck before they like put you onto a team. And so I went to a few of those and then I started playing and then I played up through high school. Then I stopped for a long time for the band stuff. And then the last couple of years, I've been trying to get more into it. But this last year was the only time where I actually got to play any of the season, because normally I'm gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the beer league shit vibe. And that was fun. I was like, this is awesome. It's like a bunch of dudes who are never going to go anywhere talking a bunch of shit and just getting wasted. I'm like, this is hella cool.
Yeah.
Taking it way too seriously.
That's a lot of my friends are beer league hockey players, and it's the funniest shit ever when they're just in the locker room chirping each other.
It's awesome. It's cool. I played on Sunday. I played a game. I didn't sign up like you're supposed to sign up and all this shit, but I'm going to be gone on these tours. But in the group chat with the guys on the team, they were like, oh yeah, the game is actually this Sunday. So then I just kind of was like, yo, I'm just going to like show up and play, I guess. And the guy let me play, the guy who like runs it, which was nice of him.
Yeah.
And that was hella fun. I'm bummed that I'm going to miss all of it, because I broke my foot.
Oh,
like
shit.
a couple months ago, I broke my foot, so I missed the end of the last season.
Yeah.
And this was my first time like skating on the ice in a game again. And I was like, oh man, like this is so fucking fun. I can't believe I've been missing this, you know? And yeah, everyone's just talking shit and it's fun and it's awesome. Yeah.
So do you remember the moment like when you were like, you know what? I want to get back into hockey. I want to start playing again. Was there something that like triggered that?
I think it was a couple years ago. My friend John plays like leagues and pickup and all that other shit. Just plays hockey a bunch because he's a goalie. So that's probably,
yeah, he gets free shit all the time.
Yeah. So I think he invited me to one because he knew that I had played hockey, and I was like, okay, I'll get my stuff. And then I got my stuff out, and I don't know. It's funny. Like I slowly started to get back into it. And then this last year I went and played a pickup game, or like a couple pickup games in the Bay. And I was like, dude, this is just like, how have I not been, I've been coming to the Bay all the time, never playing these pickup games. Like, I should be like playing as much as I can. And I got that like hockey fever, you know what I'm talking about, where you're like, you're like online, you're like, this shit's awesome. Like it like all hit me again, like how it did when I was little. It just like came again. I was like, oh, this is fucking dope. Like, what's all the new shit? I haven't bought anything new. Like, all my shit's so old. It's from like high school. And yeah, I have like a two-piece stick that like once it finally went, I was like, oh, I gotta get a new stick or whatever. And then I went and I was like, where's, oh, there's no two-piece, like what's going on, you know? And all of them are just these light ass sticks now, and I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. There's all these different curves and shit. Like,
yep,
you had the silver Wayne Gretzky two-piece. Everyone had that one.
It was funny too, because I went in and I think I was trying to get another one, and they're like, oh, we don't even have two piece things, and like, we don't have tapered two piece. Like, we just have the normal ones that you put on like a street stick. So I don't know. It's like the stick, I keep all my sticks right here, but the stick's like worthless now. But it's still there.
I'm thinking, you know, when you are doing this Canada leg of the tour, man, you might as well throw your gear in and bring it with you so you can play some pickup pond hockey when you're up in Canada, man.
Oh, I'm gonna be gone. I'm not gonna be on that part, actually.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm going to Tokyo with some friends.
Oh shit.
Which I had planned this before we like booked this leg of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna miss that. But I did this last year when we went. Yeah, last year I brought like inline skates and shit and my ice skates.
Yeah.
And I would just, every day we would go somewhere, I would go like ride my skateboard or bike to like whatever
deck rink.
everywhere on the East Coast and shit, and like pretty much everywhere besides California, it's like there's inline rinks everywhere where you can just go and like you play as long as you want. It's all free. Like, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I would do that. And then I got to play, do like some stick time and shit, which was fun.
That's awesome. It's funny, a lot of the bands that we've had on, we've like asked them about that, and surprisingly, like, not a ton of people have said that they've done it, but there's like a select few people who are like, yeah, you know, I make it a point to, like, you know, whenever we have like an off day or you know, like, you know, we have a free morning, like, we try to go skate and do something. Who was telling us that he did that?
Well, definitely Chris from Anti-Flag, but I'm pretty sure the dude from Tokyo Police Club said the same thing. Like,
oh yeah,
they would like invite their fans out to every game, like wherever city they're in to play.
That's tight.
Yeah, I know the TM for We Were Sharks does it too. Whenever they're on the road too, he tries to find like some type of barn to go in and just play a pickup game.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like it's such an awesome thing to do. You know, you get out there, you get a little bit of exercise, and you get to do something you enjoy, and then a little bit of chill time, and then go play a show. You know, so like, have you, you know, guys, like, have you ever tried to pitch like some crossover like hockey gear? Like, has there ever been like a mom jeans jersey pitched?
I think like a hockey jersey at one point, but the thing is, like, that shit would cost so much to do, and it's like, who is that even for? I guess.
Yep.
And then we're going real pop punk looking. if we're like selling a mom jeans, like, you know,
hockey jersey.
Yeah, because you know, it'd probably be the hoodie one. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like jersey, fake hoodie underneath type vibe.
Yeah, it's got
the lace.
Hell yeah, man! I mean, look, you know, you say that people wouldn't buy it, but
people would buy it.
I think they would buy it. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know. It could be cool. I think I'm very
cool.
I'm more recently like into hockey again, I guess I could say. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of me as a kid. You guys want to see it? I can hold it up to the camera.
Of course. Hell yeah.
Absolutely we do.
Let's see.
That's going to be the picture for the podcast now.
Let's see where it is. Like,
who's this child you have on the picture?
How much time we got here?
Enough to see this.
All right, cool.
Definitely.
I don't keep a lot of photos on my phone, so it should be easy to find.
I wish I could say the same. There's so much crap from this podcast. Just
I just deleted 600 things from my phone.
I just delete shit. I'll be like, I'm tired of scrolling through everything, so I just go through and just like wipe it. Yeah, with this.
Yes.
You even got the flowy, like, hair.
That's
Devil Wears Prada vibe, you know, like we were saying. But
I mean, achy breaky hockey hair picture.
Do you think that, you know, when you were playing travel hockey, the kids that you were playing with were also into similar music, and that's kind of where
I feel like all the I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but it felt like so fucking bro-y. In a, you know, that kind of music, it had its bro-y elements, but it was very much like, I'm emotional. Like, you have to build up some sort of thick skin to walk around like with straightened hair and like skinny jeans on all the time because people don't fuck with you. But yeah, it would be like, I don't know. There's a lot of money that has to be had to play travel. And so I feel like the Fresno team wasn't very like, they needed people to play. So it's like a lot of the gear is like borrowed, like, you know, like I was wearing like Supras and that. I love those so much. Like I went to the store and I was like, I somehow lost these. Like some of my gear got lost or stolen. Yeah. And so when I was going back, I was like, what are these? Like, I want these. I hate these fucking new pants. And the guy was like, oh, those are like Supras, they have like no padding and they don't make them. And then he was like, these are like the light ones. And I was putting on the new gear they make, and I was like, dude, this shit sucks. Like, it's so bulky.
Yeah. But it's crazy because, you know, we the last guest we had on, we were talking to him about his son getting into youth hockey. And he said he literally just went out and spent like $600 on like pads and equipment and stuff.
For a four-year-old,
right? Like stuff he's just going to grow out of. But like at the same time, there's like no better feeling than like, you know, like seeing your, you know, son or daughter like on the ice, like doing their thing. But it is a sport that, you know, is more accessible for people who have money, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why that like bro culture is like a reality of it. It's like, you know, when you get up into Canada where hockey is the most important thing, you know, like a lot of the stories, like, you know, aside from the stories that you hear that are of those like coming of origin stories, like most of it, I would probably say 90% of the NHL were probably like rich Canadian and like Russian families that had the money to like support their kid through this and like all that kind of stuff. And like, unfortunately, you know, money can kind of breed that sort of contempt sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And people have that air of, you know, richness,
arrogance,
like superiority. Arrogance,
yeah.
Type, so, there's probably a lot of rinks, because if my rink had it, I bet a bunch of them do, but it was like C train in the back of the, like behind the rink, and it's just like filled with like people's used shit. So you just go in and be like, yeah, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, and it's good that that's, you know,
but then you still have to pay for like ice time and shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. And travel.
Yeah, and it's
that's why you're a goalie, so everyone pays for it for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
that's actually true.
Except that equipment's like four times expensive.
Oh yeah.
It's like a drummer. If you talk to a goalie, he's on like four teams.
Dude, I finally got new skates because I've only skated in like cheaper like soft boot things, like. Even in the photo I showed you, it's like I didn't even know they made skates that like you had to bake. Like I'd see the thing where they bake the skates in, and I'm like, I don't even know what that's for. But then I like found out about this shit, and I was like, well, what the hell? So I went to a store and like got skates, like nice ones that they actually fit to my foot, and like molded them to them. I was like, once I started skating on those, I was like, dude, this is fucked up. And I like, like, how did I not know about this shit? And then, I don't even know about like the hone. Like I just skated like a Gretzky cut or whatever, you know, like
the curve,
half inch or whatever.
Yeah.
And then some guy was just like, you should try this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then so he, it's like a 5/8 or a 3/4. I don't know. Something that's like smoother, mm-hmm. like more glide. And then I started skating on that. And right when I stepped on the ice, I was like, dude, I feel fast as shit now. Like,
yeah, I was just going to say, imagine like you are like the best hockey player in the world, but you just don't know because you've been constantly playing with shitty gear, like your whole life. And like, once it all finally comes together and like you put like the optimal gear on, you're all of a sudden just like better than like Sid Crosby. And you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, that's how I felt. Except I just became just okay. I went from myself with elite life. Yeah. Like I don't know. I got this dude, especially I was at the store and this guy was trying to not sell me on like, I got this stick. That's that like P28 curve or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy at the store is trying to, he's like, well, if you're going from a two piece and you've like, you have this fucking basic ass curve, like, cause it's from 100 years ago. He's like, you're not going to want to go to like this crazy one. You're going to want to do this other one. So then I got this like warrior stick that I don't even know what curve it is. It's just like normal. It's closer to whatever I had before.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I got to play with that crazy curve, like the super dramatic one. I was like, dude, this is like, this feels like cheating. You know, so then I was like, why did the guy tell me to not, he was like, he was trying to be like, you won't be able to handle it or something. And it's like, what do you mean? It's like, this is straight cheating. This is like, you're like, oh, I want it up there. Like I want it in the corner. Okay. It's just like, come on, that's like, it's fucking, it's awesome. It's cool how much hockey is like evolved. Changed. Like the gear has gotten so good where it's like, it feels like you don't even have to try to like enjoy it as much as like someone who, when I was growing up, they'd skate and they'd do something crazy and you'd be like, damn, how do I do that? It's like,
could
now you,
imagine if hockey never changed and like players were like still doing the Gretzky shit where like he could just be behind an opposing net and just stand there and like call plays and like create magic.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, like if you're behind like a goalie for like anything more than like a second, some bruiser's going to come by and just like smash you into jelly.
Like I remember like practice, they'd be like, this is the most dangerous spot. Like this is where you want to be. And it's like, yeah, now I don't think you could be there. Like no one would be like, you want to get back here. Like you got to stay here.
This is the cool kids club.
Because literally like Gretzky was so good at it. And then like he ruined it for everybody else. Cause like now everybody had like PTSD from like years of like watching Gretzky just make them look like fools. So like if Mike Madonna was like, I'm going to try to go behind the net, they'd be like, no, the fuck you aren't. Like, like we're going to launch you into the fourth row because we don't want you scoring 100 goals on us. It's fucking craziness. But I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, the sport. Like it just is ever changing. And, you know, they've done a couple of things over the past couple of years, you know, and changing rules and, you know, changing, you know, the space, you know, the spacing of the lines and the neutral zone and all that kind of stuff, just to make the game a little bit more fast and competitive. You know, just because the disparity nowadays between like really good players and like good players. And I mean, you know, I can't say, you know, everybody that's in the NHL is a brilliant player, but you've got, you know, your McDavids and your Draisaitls and your McKinnons and like all of these guys who are like next level hockey, like geniuses.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, if you don't try to make the game fair for everybody, these guys are just gonna, you know, pot 200 goals a season. And like, it's gonna be fun to watch them, but nobody's gonna wanna watch that, you know, Winnipeg Ottawa game because, you know, the Stars aren't there scoring 5 goals a game. You know, it's kind of like the, like the juice ball era of the 90s where like, you know, it was just like, you know, nobody wanted to watch anybody Oakland. But Sosa or McGuire or Barry Bonds because it was just so exciting. So I think the NHL did the right thing in trying to make the game more accessible to everybody. And in that you create different, you know, like we're talking about the playoffs, like the, you know, the NFL playoffs for DraftKings. It's like, how many more times are we really going to see like the Chiefs, like in the final four, you know, it's just like, it's great. It shows that they're a dominant team and that, you know, Mahomes is the real deal and all that stuff. But like, that's why I like hockey. Like I like knowing that like year to year, I could see someone different try to take up the mantle and it makes it more interesting. I just don't feel like you have that with a lot of other sports. You just don't.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Lightning, but yeah.
Unfortunately.
I haven't, like, I don't watch it a whole lot. I just started trying to follow last season and then this one. And at the beginning I was watching a lot of games. This one I was watching like almost every game that I could because I was like, this is hella fun because the games are quick. But then some of the games that I could only get access to, because you know that shit's all fucked up, like I can't watch every game. So then I was using that like NHL 66, you know what I'm talking about, where you can watch. And then they started like beating, or they started like blocking those, you know what I mean, so you couldn't watch them. And then it's like, well, I don't really want to watch like the Ducks and the, like, I don't know, like I'd be watching these games and I'd be like, especially the Sharks games, it's just like shit's kind of boring, like I don't know. I know I'm from California, but
I get it, like that's the reality of like having a you know, like being someone who watches hockey because they love hockey and they don't necessarily have a team allegiance. You're going to want to watch the best teams that, you know, create the most scoring opportunities and like play a very, you know, exciting style of hockey because that's what you look for. And it's like, you know, if I wasn't an Islanders fan, like I wouldn't put on an Islander game ever. You know, like I only do it because like I'm a fan of the team. But if I was just a pure hockey fan, I'd be watching the Bolts and I'd be watching the Avs and I'd be watching, you know, the Golden Knights and like, you know, all these teams that like have, really well-developed strategies and like look good when they play. But yeah, that's the problem about being, you know, pledging your allegiance to something and being a crazy fan is like, now I'm stuck with the Islanders for my whole life. And like every time I watch them lose a lead or every time I watch them, you know, lose by three goals, I'm just like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to really do this, but like, you know, the elation that you feel when they win kind of sometimes crosses that out yeah. a little probably bit. If not. Anything. Nah, not nah. as much, but you get used to it, man. I mean, yeah. like I'm an Islanders
you get used fan. To
I'm a Mets fan. So I'm used to the heartache of that. And I mean, it's just yeah. like, you get accustomed to it. And after a while, I mean, like if you took Islanders fans and put them in a room and were like, hey, could you produce some of like the most emo lyrics that you've in the universe? Like they would.
Well, yeah, that's so why bad. Long Island had all those great emo bands in the early 2000s.
Yeah. That's why Taking Back Sunday even wrote There's No I in Team.
Because Islanders.
Little known fact, it was for Ziggy Palfy.
But you know what? Speaking of San Jose, you know, the Cinderella story of Bernsey going from San Jose, bottom of the league, basically, all the way to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Crossing the division right now.
I don't even know if it's necessarily because of him.
No, I think at all. It's just cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when Kessel left the Leafs to the Penguins and he won the cup, that was the greatest thing I've ever saw. And I hate the Penguins.
Yeah, but everyone loves Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Dude just eats hot dogs and plays hockey.
Yeah, he's a man's man. He's just like the Nathan's Hot Dogs Joey Chestnut, but the hockey player version.
Yeah, I don't know anyone's names.
No, you're good. All right, so I have one last question for you, Bart. So let's just say we were going to make like a bootleg Mom Jean shirt, right?
Uh-huh.
And like we were going to make it, and I don't know, we were going to like put like, I don't know, fucking some like Anaheim Duck from back in the day on it, like Paul Kariya, right?
Sure.
Like what lyric of yours could we use like to make this bootleg shirt? Like what's the most like hockey lyric that
the most hockey
yeah just like the most hockey that you've got
I mean Eric pretty much writes all the lyrics. The thing is they're all sad.
I mean, Ducks fans.
Yeah, I'm a sad Islander fan, so it works.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean that's honestly hard to answer.
All right, that's fine.
I'm sorry. It is a good question.
You can get back to us.
What's the best answer you've had to that?
This is the first time we're asking it because we just had a conversation in the group chat.
This is the first time we're asking because, like, we're probably going to do this idea and we might get sued and cease and desist, like letters from people. But I figured if I asked you and you told me, because it's on a podcast, it's technically like a binding agreement.
Yeah, that's smart.
So.
You're like, you would have been like,
oh, I'm going to sue that guy. Oh, wait, I can't because of podcast law.
It's my idea. Yeah.
Charlie Kelly is my lawyer. He's a bird law, podcast law. Bird law. He's my guy. But awesome, man. I mean, we've been at this for like an hour 15, so we'll wrap it up here. So I guess real quick, you know, for those that are listening that like don't know where to find you guys, socials and all that fun stuff, you know, how do we catch you? Where do we catch you? That sort of deal.
I mean, mostly we just post on Instagram. I think Eric hits the Twitter sometimes. We're not too active on all that stuff.
Okay.
Which I think is good, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, obviously you've got music on Spotify and Apple Music, you know.
Yeah.
We wish you all the best, you know, in the year coming in terms of, you know, the tours you're going on. We hope they're super successful. You know, I know Sweet Tooth just came out a year ago, but you know, are you guys, you know, kind of messing around with some new stuff yet?
Yeah, we're the last couple months we've been in the studio working on stuff.
Awesome.
So nice. I think this last week was us finishing it and now it should be off to mixing.
Great.
Is it going to be like a similar vibe to, Sweet Tooth?
It's going to be its own sort of thing. It's like a whole different vibe, but we'll,
awesome.
I know the goal is to get one of the songs that we tracked out, released before maybe Sad Summer.
Great.
Perfect. So,
yeah.
I know a lot of people were asking about like if there's anything new going to be coming out soon. So
yeah, there is going to be new stuff. I think the goal is, or at least for me, is to just work on as much music as possible all the time. So hopefully that translates to us having stuff more frequently and just writing more stuff.
Nice.
But yeah.
Excellent, man. Awesome. Well, we you know, really appreciate the time you took to hang with us today. Super excited for, you know, what's to come with new music and, you know, all the great, you know, tour opportunities and stuff that you guys have. And, you know, we definitely got to, you know, once Sam starts to
develop
more of his hockey chops, we'll have to,
he's a fucking liar. He probably already knows more than I do because he's a sports guy. You guys will get along. He's charismatic.
Sam. I met him a couple of times. I know, like, one time I saw Just Friends play at Fest and I was really drunk and I was like, how many people are in your band? It's like a 40 people in your band. And he was like, yeah, there kind of is. And I'm like, that's funny.
There kind of is.
I don't know. Yeah. He's probably going to be like, oh, you're that guy. You're the 40 person guy. He's like, I don't want to talk to you, but
no, he's awesome. He's a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's awesome. He's really a great guy. But, you know, give the rest of the band our regards. You know, we appreciate you taking the time to be on here. You know, hope you have fun playing more pickup games. And, you know, we'll catch up with you hopefully soon. And maybe after all the touring and stuff is done, we can get you back on for next season. See how you're feeling.
Yeah, hopefully I know more about hockey then. But we'll see.
No, it's all good. And then I can hammer you with another song explosion that I,
idea that I stole. Original idea.
Yeah, it's my original idea.
Song imploder.
Yeah.
Song imploder. That just sounds like a Dillinger Escape Plan song.
It probably is.
It probably is. Well, to all the Dillinger Escape Plan fans out there, I bid you adieu. To all the Mom Jeans fans out there, I also bid you adieu. Thank you again, Bart. You guys have a great night.
Guys.
And we'll catch you on the other side, man. Be well.
All right. See ya.
Peace.
Take care.